When last month I was invited to share my thoughts with you today, I thought I would pull from the lectionary sources, find a unifying principle, and wrap up with a nice epiphany theme. But the Lord's calling of our dear and beloved Terry has left me irreconciled and hesitant to now take on a role for which I am little qualified and will not therefore try to fulfill. How am I to touch on anything today, and what should I direct your thoughts to without understanding and expressing the sadness and affliction of loss that we all feel? My godfather died a couple of years ago, and I knew him better and longer than I knew my own father. At his passing, I didn't want to resort to the stiff platitudes that give comfort, but provide no direction for us as we say goodbye to our loved ones. His life was marked by such kindness, adventure, freely accepted challenges, and the love of God and his family, that I needed something more than just a way for me to move on. I wanted, rather, a way which allowed both of us to move on together. And it just so happened at that time, I came across a beautiful poem by an American poet, Mary Oliver. And in that poem, she asked an important question that was perfect for that time in my life. Tell me, what is it that you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? And every day, my godfather asked that to me now. A couple of weeks ago, an adult Sunday school, we discussed the amazing implications that flow from the fact that God became incarnate in Jesus. And really it is. It's almost incomprehensible, almost mysterious. I love the line from John Donne, who reflected on our Lord's choice to become incarnate in the meek and humble personage of Jesus. And he summed up the mystery beautifully. He said, "'Twas much that we were made like God long before, but that God should be like us much more." It is incomprehensible to me, because the incarnate God, who remained master of the universe, became, through Jesus, subject to finality, subject to mortality, just as we all are. And our mortal lives are properly and inexorably finite, with limits on what we can do, how we can live, and who we might become. But our faith and our joy in this one wild and precious life, I don't think it's diminished by this understanding of finality, or any more than our celebration of Christmas or the Epiphany is impaired by the certainty of Calvary. It is through faith, hope, and love, not necessarily rational responses to this world. It is through these things that we transcend our little lives, our finite lives. We transcend and escape the limiting contexts and meager possibilities of finitude. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in a meditation we also studied in adult class, wrote, "The lack of mystery in our modern life is our downfall and our poverty. We destroy the mysterious because we sense that here we reach the boundary of our being." To turn away from, deny, and even destroy the mysterious in our lives means that we forever or will be limited to what Bonhoeffer called the boundaries of our being. We become forever incapable of recognizing in ourselves the unresigned and uncontrollable spirits that we all are by having been made in the image of God, heirs of the magnificent creation that we read about in Genesis this morning. But how easily it is to settle into ways of living and doing, safe, comfortable, respectable, even responsible, and allow a mummy to begin to form around each of us, which diminishes our reach and our vision, by accommodating them to the circumstances and the received expectations of class, culture, society, even age. Allowing the mysterious, the uncertain, the not fully understood, or as we sang about, to abide in something that God alone can see. To allow this to in fact animate our lives is the only way to move beyond the boundaries, to break out of the mummy. But we can break out of it only by denying ourselves some of the safeguards with which we protect ourselves against the frustrations of our longings and the defeat of our ambitions. The church, as I live it, provides a way to live my one precious and wild life in the mysterious and as the gift which it is, because it is a gift. It's not an achievement. It's not an accomplishment. It's a gift that's freely given to us. And that we are given this gift and given our free will is mysterious at the same time. Consider this. What other form, model, or system offers us anything as ennobling or enabling as the directive that we live in this somewhat irrational model of always acting, thinking, and speaking through the prism of faith, hope, and love? I don't know of any other offering in this world that gives us that. To the same extent that I can maintain awe and be guided by the mysterious in my life, to step away at times from the safeguards which protect me and serve my will, equally I increase in faith, hope, and love, and exchange my mummified vision of myself for God's magnificent, if not somewhat mysterious, plan for me. And because I know the seasons pass, and because I know my call will also come, each step is a choice. Do I live, speak, and do all things in joyful faith, requiring as it does uncertainty, risk, and mystery? Or do I remain safe within the boundaries of my being, the mummy of my own creation? When I can't decide which choice, which step, which path, I go back to those words that my godfather asked me every day. Tell me, what is it that you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?